So if I would ask you, what is one of your most favorite Bible verses?
What might you say? You can shout them out. John 3:16. Do I have any other takers? I know, that's the correct right answer for today. Dang. Yeah, if you ask anybody, I think, you know, on the street, they might not be able to say that verse, but you will hear that, won't you? John 3:16. Because I think it's plastered on enough bumper stickers and maybe even spray painted on a wall. And I'm not a football fan, but I was told this today that you go to almost any game, right? And it's held up on a poster, John 3:16. Who hasn't seen that? And to be, you know, and it seems the perfect trademark, almost like a mission statement for Christians. It seems kind of overly simple, though. One version of the gospel kind of in one tweet, you know, a quick sound bite. But to be clear, I love this verse because it so greatly reveals the mission of Jesus, that God so loved the world that he gave us his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. That God loved the world so much that he gave his only son to come and slip into human flesh so that every woman, man, and child who's ever been born into human history may believe and have eternal life. But when we really start to dig into this verse and unpack Jesus' mission here on earth, what seems so simple about this good news, that the kingdom of God, which Jesus preached in parables and ushered in with mighty deeds, especially that mystery of overcoming death, is in fact the final destiny of the whole universe. And what seems so simple, because is not really simple at all, to get our heads around that Jesus came in and redeemed the world. So why do we experience such a broken world? And you know all these big questions, and you, I'm sure, have talked about them in Bible studies and debated them with your friends. Why does evil still exist? Why does sin still exist? Why do people still kill each other? And the list goes on. So let's start with Jesus' mission. Why did God send his son? Well, that's a big question. And each of our four Gospels have a different answer as well. And it's unique in the unfolding, and we need all four of those stories to tell about Jesus' mission. The Gospel of Matthew tells the story of Jesus the Messiah, whose single genealogy and miraculous birth are a sign and a promise that God is with us, Emmanuel. The Gospel of Mark really centers on that last week of Jesus' life, where Jesus repeatedly announces his coming suffering, death, and resurrection. Luke's story is about his life, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It makes clear the claim that God declares Jesus is here for the purposes of the world and God to usher in what God sees in the world as true life. And finally, John's gospel begins with that poetic reading that Pastor Don read last week, which places the story of Jesus in the wider story of God's word, the world that God created. And that word communicates and informs us of who God is and stresses ways in which God speaks. But before the gospel canon was set, a council in Italy around 390 AD constructed what we have today in the church called the Creed. And if you want to follow along in your red hymnal, it's a wonderful resource. I think it's on page 1192 is the Creed. This is especially helpful when our technology goes down. So there's the Creed. If you ever are looking for it or looking for, you know, the explanation of the second article is what we're going to talk about today. The Creed succinctly expresses salvation history in and through the lens of our triune God. So we're focusing today on Martin Luther's writing and the meaning about the Creed, or the second article. In the second article, we confess that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit in a woman, and that he experienced life like ours with suffering and death and burial. And with too few years in him, he descended into that death, into hell. But he did what no human has ever done. He defied death, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. And then he ascended into heaven. Christ has done for all believers. And here is the heart of the Christian faith and of the Reformation. It is finished, Martin Luther wrote. Jesus Christ achieved it for all, for you and for me. So in the Small Catechism, Luther explained that the Creed reveals and magnifies the incarnation of God in Jesus, that because God is incarnate in Jesus Christ, we have a redeeming God. And God did not take on flesh simply so God could be seen in earthly ministry. And not that that wasn't important, but because the incarnation ought forever be in our minds tied to Christ crucified and what Jesus did on the cross. To truly understand who and where and what Jesus is and his mission, we must understand this through the lens of our baptism. We are called into action. That Jesus calls us into his life and mission for this world. St. Paul describes in his letters to the early churches that we are called into the mission of Jesus to be a community of people. We are called by God through the Holy Spirit and united in Jesus and sent as disciples to bear witness to this. In the 16th century, Teresa of Avila, a Spanish Carmelite nun and reformer, said that Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion to this world. And I like that, that she was already talking about how the world was being reformed and how we can help reform with our hands and our feet and our eyes. But in the world that God so loved, we encounter not only situations of harmony and prosperity, of progress and hope, but we know this, right? That all the problems and tragedies and sometimes the most unspeakable things in our world are happening right now. We don't have to look far. We can pull up the news feed. We can watch the news. We can read on our devices things that are happening in the world. So where is God working today? Where do we see God's redemptive work going on? So last week when I was writing my sermon, I pulled up my Facebook page and I thought, okay, before I even read this, I'm going to take the first four stories that come up in my feed. And I thought of our kids because this one was the first one that came up. They're kids who are in Pine Ridge this week serving on the reservation. The headline read, "Beating the toughest odds, new graduate on the Pine Ridge Reservation is accepted to 7 Ivy League colleges." This student's name is Jacob, and I truly hope he can speak to our students this week. But Jacob plans to live out this Lakota virtue of living generously with compassion. One of his college essays, which helped him earn admission to so many elite universities, focused on the experience he had of picking up a hitchhiker and what it taught him about the power of kindness. And he says he wants to continue practicing kindness when he goes through college in the following years and then to return back to the reservation where hope is so urgently needed. The second headline that I pulled up was about the leaders from the Southern Baptist Convention who were divided over a resolution affirming the denomination's opposition to white supremacy. And you might not think that that's redemptive work, but the fact that they're talking about it, the fact that it's on an agenda, is God working in this world. And the fact that they're using a Bible now that is inclusive, using pronouns of he and she, this is God's work redeeming the world. The next story I pulled up was that I'm an ally. And I support this crazy thought that everyone should have equal rights. And finally, your loving quilts and kits were distributed through Lutheran World Relief to Syrian refugees. And it highlighted Ahmad, who's 13, who received one of those school kits. And he works at a nearby store cooking on charcoal briquettes from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. for approximately $3.50 a day because after the death of his father, he is the sole breadwinner for his family. This is God working in our world. redeeming the world. And that is perhaps why our very souls love John 3:16. Even if our minds do not quite understand why, our very essence, the true heart of us, longs to be reconnected and be redeemed by a God who so loves the world, who so loves us. When the fourth gospel writer speaks of God's love in the world, it's not simply saying that God loves the world of blue skies and green fields. The point is that God loves the world that at times is in opposition to God. And God loves the world that wants to alienate itself from God. And Jesus demonstrated that on the cross. That the very most broken parts of our world and our lives are taken and made whole on the cross. God does something no human can do. God overcomes death and restores life. This is redemption. This is the love of God through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.